Morning. Glad you're here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we hope that you'll stick around and let us get to know you a little better. We're celebrating an 80th birthday today and anniversary yesterday too, right, Larry? So big weekend for the Honeckers. There's going to be cake and everything out there, and we'd love to have you stick around and have some cake and punch and get to know the Honeckers and celebrate with them. It's also my anniversary, so I appreciate you having a party for my anniversary. 17 years, and just like I've said to you before, I wake up several mornings a week thinking to myself, I don't know how I pulled this off, but I'm glad I did, and life has been great as a result. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to two different places, they'll be on the screen here too if you'd rather just read it up here, but we'll be at the beginning of the book of Luke, and then in a moment at the beginning of the book of Matthew. I'm amazed as I look around nowadays at the creativity of people's birth announcements. Now we, as I was growing up, we would occasionally receive something, and it was just a little card that you might get in the mail that announced the arrival of whoever, and it was a pink one for a girl or a blue one for a boy, and it would tell you all the important statistics and the weight and height and all of that, or length, I guess it is at that point, and all of those things and the name and proud parents and grandparents and all that stuff. When our first came along, David, when we were still doing all the things that you do with first child, and then we got to Nathan, and I think we told people that Nathan was here, but we didn't get all of that official with it. But when David came along, we found these Hershey bar wrappers, and they said, instead of Hershey's on the wrapper, it said, "Here he is." And we got a bunch of Hershey bars at the Sam's Club, which is kind of like the Costco up here. And we gave out candy bars instead of cigars to people to let people know that the baby had come. As we look in toward the birth of Christ, this morning we're going to look at some of the announcements that preceded and how they affected the lives of people and how they might have come across during that time. First, the announcement to Mary. Starting in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, who are you, you who are highly favored? The Lord is with you." He begins with a couple statements here that I think are worth looking at. One, "you who are highly favored." And we don't talk in the churches of Christ a whole lot about Mary. Her part of the story seems to end fairly early in what we look into. And I know there are other groups that put a lot of emphasis on Mary. We don't really talk a lot about her. And when you think of her story, you can look at it in a couple of different ways. Now, "you who are highly favored" clearly brings about the positive side of the story. And he ends his statement, if my clicker will work, "with the Lord is with you," to remind her that she is not alone in this. But as being highly favored, she is going to play a unique role in the history of God and his people. She is going to be the one who is going to bring the Messiah, the Son of God, into the world. Now, at the same time, if you will think about where Mary is in life and the way she is described here as a virgin pledged to be married, this is going to cause a lot of problems for her too. There's going to be a lot of whispers, a lot of explaining to do, a lot of unsureness about how this goes. I think of all the pressure that came with having a child the first time and not having any clue what we were doing and trying to read up on those things the best we could, but still not really being completely prepared for that. And think of just an added moment of, well, if we mess this kid up, this kid is the Son of God. If we don't parent correctly, this is the Messiah that we are not parenting correctly. Sometimes the high favor of God comes in a challenge. Now, we can look, depending on how you look at this, pessimistically or optimistically, in different ways, but you have to acknowledge the fact that what Mary now has laying ahead of her is a challenge in life. Something that she was not expecting at this young age, something that is out of order in the things that are supposed to happen in her mind, but yet God is going to use it for her favor. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and I imagine this is a bit of an understatement. If you were Mary, this probably teenage girl, taking all of this in. Imagine processing it for just a minute. How your life is about to be turned upside down for this work that God has planned for you. She was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Do not be afraid. I don't know if you pay attention as you're walking in, if you're here a little bit early. There's usually songs playing on the speakers overhead. And as I walked out into the foyer this morning, I thought, I hear familiar, but I'm not quite sure what it is. And I actually had to stop kind of near a speaker and listen for a minute as to what I was listening to. And then I came and asked David, "Did you pick those on purpose or was that completely random?" And he said, "Completely random." The two songs I heard this morning, right before we started, were Jehovah is Our King, which is an a cappella song, and it talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which if you were in Bible class today, was what we talked about. And part of what they're needing to do is not be afraid at what faces them. And the words of that song say, "We will not serve your God. We will not bow down before your image. Jehovah is our King." The next song that played was, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, declares the Lord." And he starts with Moses and the fears that Moses had, and he went to Joshua and the fears that Joshua had in conquering Canaan. He went to Jeremiah and the fears that Jeremiah had in being a prophet of the Lord and how that turned out for so many people. And I thought to myself, leading into what we're going to talk about here, which is this girl whose life is about to completely change, and God understands that she needs reassurance. And this angel says, "Do not be afraid." And maybe that's where we need to begin in our own lives, is this reminder that we should not fear what God has in store for us. God has something for each of us to do in life. God has a purpose for each of us, a plan for all of our lives. And we don't need to fear when it seems a little too difficult, a little too big, like there's a little too much opposition, because God is a God who, throughout the course of history, has allowed his people and guided his people and assisted and equipped his people to do the things that he needs to have done. And for Mary, is this going to create some difficulties in life, some obstacles to face? Absolutely. But she does not need to fear because God is with her. "You will conceive," in verse 31, "and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" Now, for us in life, the things that God has asked us to do are overcoming far less obstacles than what we see before Mary with this very real question. "What you're telling me, angel of God, doesn't make logical sense because of who I am and what I've experienced in life and where I am." And how many times do we look at the things that God places in front of us and we say to ourselves, "I can't do that. I'm not that guy. I'm not that woman. Those are not my talents. Those are things that other people do." Those are things that people who have more experience, more knowledge, more talent, more ability, those people do those things. And God says to us, "No, I want you to do those things." Are we ready to take God at his word that he can do whatever he will do through us? Or do we at this stage, like Mary, just say, "Well, how is this even possible? How can this happen?" And the angel continues to explain. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." No word from God will ever fail. If he has said it will be, it will be. If he has said that you can be resurrected after you have died and go on to live forever with him, then that will happen. If he has said to his disciples, as he did at the beginning of the book of Acts, that we are to take this story to the ends of the world, then we are the ones who are capable of taking the story to the ends of the world. If he has placed people in your life that you can serve, that you can love, that you can have compassion on, that you can help, you can do those things. Because no word from God will ever fail. God set this plan in motion from the very beginning of time, that his son would come through this virgin at this point in time, and because of him and the life that he would live, we could be with him forever. No word from God will ever fail. And then the angel left her. And maybe this should be our basic response to all of these things. Because if you look at Moses and how he responds when God says, go and lead my people, he has all the reasons why this couldn't happen. When you initially look at Mary, it doesn't make logical sense to her, but she's still willing to continue to listen to the story. How many of us have shut off the thing that God has asked us to do? How many of us have tried to run away from it because we feel like it's not the job for us, when instead our response just needs to be, I am the Lord's servant. Are you willing to do whatever it is that he would have you do? And maybe the question you might be thinking in your mind right now is, well, I don't know that he's really had me do anything. There's not been an angel appear to me. There's not been some kind of vision or dream, or there's not been a concise moment where God said, do this thing. Do you not think God has placed opportunities and people in your life to this point? Think about that for a minute. If you're thinking, well, there's not really been a thing that God has had me to do, I'm going to guess you just haven't noticed it. And very easy, by the way, because we get pretty busy in life and we're always doing something. But maybe God is putting these people in your life for a reason. Maybe God puts this move into a different neighborhood into your life for a reason. Maybe God puts a job change or retirement at the time that he puts it there or whatever into your life for a reason, because he has something in mind for you to do. Maybe God has you here this morning sitting where you were sitting because he has in mind for you to hear something or meet someone or see something in a way that you've not seen it before. And our response to that should be, I am the Lord's servant. Wherever you take me, God, I will go there. And for most of us, it will not be anything remotely like what we learned in our Bible classes this morning, which was something that seemed like death was coming as a result of their belief and their faith, and yet God even saved them from that. For most of us, things will be a whole lot simpler than that and a whole lot easier than that. And God can still use us in some way. Now, there are two sides to this story, obviously, because there is Mary who is learning that she's going to have a child, and that doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense. But there's also Joseph who's about to hear a story that is too difficult to believe. Because if you were engaged, and it's weird preaching this on my anniversary, by the way, because I think to myself of the engagement. In the short period of time that passes between engagement and marriage, and I try to imagine what would it be like if my wife-to-be came to me in October, early November, before our December wedding, and said, by the way, I'm pregnant. And I realized that she shouldn't be. And how did this happen? And her response is, well, you know, it's God came to me through an angel and said, this is what's going to happen. And I wonder what would go through my mind at that point, even having heard this story once before. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Doesn't seem logical, doesn't seem right. Joseph's now going to have to process a lot too, and God understands that, and so sends an announcement also to him. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. We're now in Matthew chapter 1. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, he already realizes that there's a problem here. And the way that the law works is she's in trouble. was not a time where women were valued the way that men were valued, and it seemed like so much of the punishment that would come would come the way of women. And he knew he had rights in all of this, but we learn something immediately about Joseph, which is he really loves this woman. And he loves her enough that he wants to spare her the embarrassment that's going to come with this. And so whatever he does here, he wants to do it quietly behind the scenes so they can go on living their lives. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Do not be afraid. If you were to look through Scripture at how many times God begins with, "Do not be afraid." Now, among us, there are some that don't need to hear that as much as others. But there are an awful lot of folks that do. There are an awful lot of us that are not adventurers, that are weighing the risks, that fear is the thing sometimes that makes decisions for us. And God would say to us, as he does to Mary and to Joseph, do not be afraid. Joseph, don't be afraid of what you're hearing here, because this is really what is happening. It's not what you assume it to be. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, which they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. All this took place because this is the way God had, through the prophet, said it would take place. This is the plan. This is how it is going to come to be. And think about that name for just a minute. God with us. God with us. If you were God, would you want to be bothered with us? Let me just think about that for a minute. How many people frustrate you? How many people test your patience? How many people do you see the things they do and you just kind of shake your head? How many times do you read a story online, something in the news, and you make the mistake of scrolling down to the comments? And you think to yourself, are these real people? Do people actually have these thoughts and say these things? If you were God, would you want to be bothered with us? And the answer for him is a resounding yes. And not just to the point that you want to do it from a distance, but you take a piece of yourself, your son, and you send him here to live among us. To experience humanity in a way that a God shouldn't have to be humiliated, to be misunderstood, to be frustrated, to be betrayed, to be beaten, to be spit on, to be killed. And all of that, knowing from the beginning, this is exactly how it's going to go. Would you want to be bothered with us? And God says, not only would I want to be bothered with you, but the very name is going to mean God with you. I so want to be a part of your lives and you to be a part of who I am, that the very name of who I send here is going to remind you of that. God wants a relationship with you. As good as you are, or as bad as you are, as many times as you have the right answer or the wrong, God continues reaching out to you. And so when you occasionally will kid yourself into, I've gone too far, I've done too much, he can't want me anymore, God would just shake his head and say, don't be afraid to take the first step back. God wants a relationship with each and every one of us. So he sends his son, and his son is God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He did what the Lord commanded. Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. I am here to serve and do what God has me to do. For Joseph, thinks of it in a little more of man terms, I guess. He did what was commanded of him. He did what the Lord commanded. And for each of us, I think we're faced with those decisions each day. Are we going to do the thing that the world accepts? Are we going to do the thing that we want selfishly to do? Or are we going to be the Lord's servant and do what the Lord commands? And that's really all he's wanted from the beginning. John would put it in this way: if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And isn't it interesting that his commandments, so much of them are about us? Even if you go back to the original 10, back in the book of Exodus, there's a little bit there about how we relate to him, and even more there about how we relate to each other. And part of his commandments are just, be good to each other, love each other. Don't steal, don't envy. Are we willing to keep his commands? And in this case, Joseph looks at what's before him, and as difficult as it's going to be, as many other guys who are going to say to him, well, she's kind of far along for when you got married. What's this all about? There's many times he's going to want to lash out at somebody. He is going to follow through with the plan that God has set before him. Now, the struggle for us is the angels. I would love the next time that I am alone somewhere on a hillside. I would love the next time that I am sound asleep to be awakened. I would love the next time I'm driving along in my car for the angel to suddenly appear and say, okay, here's the thing. This is the date. This is the time. This is the person. This is the place. This is how it's all supposed to work. And I will tell you, I will be as surprised and probably need to be reminded not to be afraid if it happens to me. But I'm not anticipating it. I've got to find the will of God in other ways that he shows me. And for each of us, the will of God is there. And if you have not discovered it yet, it does not mean that he does not have a will and a plan for you. It just means you've not found it yet. Or if you have thought you found it, and then realized that that wasn't exactly what you thought it was going to be, doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan for you. And for most of us, it's not going to be something on this kind of scale. It might be something kind of small, or at least in our eyes, kind of small. But who knows the impact that those things have in the lives of others and the way that that impact continues to multiply and multiply over the course of time. This morning, if you sit here wondering what God's will is for your life, I think you're in a good place to start to find out. Because among his people, it becomes a whole lot easier to put that into focus. This morning, if you think of this story and you think, just can't imagine what must have been going through their minds, how their lives are completely turned upside down at this point, sometimes that's the plan of God too. Sometimes the thing God lays before you is something that you never imagined, something that seems too big. And yet he lays it before you because he knows that through him, you can do it. If you this morning would like to become a part of this story, we would love to see that happen. If you would like to take his son on in baptism and have your life changed forever in a way so positive that it's hard to even completely imagine, this is a good day for that. This morning, if you've fallen away from him and you thought to yourself, just too far, feels awkward to be in a church building, I don't even know why I'm here today, but here I am. Maybe God has brought you here for that reason, to renew that relationship with him, because he loves you so much that he wants to be with you and for you to be with him. He loves you so much that he sent his son in this incredibly humble way to be with us. This morning, if you want to be with God, if you want to be a part of his body, or if there's something as a part of his church that we can pray about, please come as we stand and sing.